Let's bow our heads and close our eyes with prayer before we read the word. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come with our hearts centered upon you, knowing that every good and perfect gift comes from you, Father. And Lord, we look unto you tonight that you would grant us that unspeakable gift, the Holy Spirit. Lord, you said your word is spirit and life. May as you would speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. Lord, may that word go deep down within us and create such a living faith. A faith, O God, that could please you. A faith, Lord, that would manifest your word. A faith, Lord, that would be so inspired, that would put us into action. A faith, Lord, that would anoint every promise and good receipt come to pass. Grant it, Father. We commit ourselves and service into your hands now. Looking unto you for your continued direction and leadership in all we say or do. And may you get honor and glory. For we ask it in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Chapter 17.
And St. Luke chapter 4.
Luke chapter 4.
And St. Matthew 27. Three places.
In the rest of the
we're going to begin reading from verse 8 in 1 Kings chapter 17. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to sustain thee. The word Zarephath means workshop for melting and refining metals. The word Zarephath means a workshop.
Which one is a workshop?
For melting and refining metals. And the word Sidon, it means fishing. Plenty of fish. Amen. The prophet was going fishing. And the third pole will catch a rainbow trout.
What's that government? I'm a rainbow trout.
So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and prepare it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die.
Amen.
And Elijah said unto him, get up, go and do as thou hast said, but make me of it a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and afterwards make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not be used up, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon
the earth. Jehova anisa ngalo imvula emhlabeni.
And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat for many days. And the barrel of meal was not used up, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. Did you get that? The word of the Lord that the Lord spoke.
If
God was speaking,
he
was speaking to his prophet. Amen. But Zarephath was a workshop for refining and melting metals. If you're in Zarephath, that's the kind of test you're going to get. Amen. Let's turn to St. Luke 4.
Luke chapter 4.
Jesus was in the temple.
Jesus was in the temple.
And the priest handed him the book to read.
It
was the book of Isaiah.
Isaiah
is a miniature Bible. It has 66 chapters. Amen. Just like the Bible has 66 books. It begins with creation.
People
of John the Baptist.
People
of the Millennium and the New Jerusalem. It's a small Bible. And when they handed Jesus that book, he was looking for a specific place to read. He was very careful to identify to the people out of the scriptures where his ministry was positionally placed at that time. He was revealing unto them the anointing that was upon him, the word that Elijah introduced. He was the word of the hour. He was the anointed word. And that anointed word was anointed with a special anointing for the work that was to be done for that season. He could have read Isaiah
7:14,
but that could have been history 3 years ago. His birth. He could have read Isaiah 11, the days of his childhood. He could have read Isaiah 53.
When happened Isaiah 53?
But that was yet prophecy to come. So he wanted to find a specific place.
What you are in your
and after he read the scripture, and he began to preach, identifying himself in the Messiah promise, it gave people trouble. They didn't like that. So he began to speak. Verse 24. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great farming was throughout all the land. Look at the anointing of Jesus. From the book of Isaiah, he dropped down into the book of Kings. Amen. It was just scripture after scripture. And he said, but none of them was Elijah sent, but only unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in that time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian.
wakukona futhi kwenzeka abana bamaleberu abaningi ngesikhathi sayilasha umprofethi kepha akahlanjulwanga namunye kubo kuphela unamani.
But that's a type of the bride. Because when the time of Elisha, when the time of Elijah and the time of the great famine, and there were many Hebrew widows, and they have received a Hebrew prophet.
Then get on prophet to my head.
And they won't receive that prophet. That come unto them. So God sent that prophet to a Gentile. A Gentile widow. And the Gentile widow with Gentile faith could receive a prophet message. And then in the time of
Elisha,
how many Hebrew lepers? But them Hebrew lepers did have faith in the Hebrew prophet. So God sent his prophet to a Gentile leper so he could be cleansed and be made whole. And God is showing in the future that ministry of Elijah, that ministry of Elisha will come to Gentile with Gentile faith. Amen. And let's read in Matthew 27. Reading from verse 39.
What of verse 39?
We were in St. Matthew 27 last night also. And we just looking at a good footer tonight. Verse 39. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, thou that destroyed the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and the elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. The world is being challenged by the religious
ruler.
He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now. Okay, verse 44, sorry. The thieves also who were crucified with him cast the same in his feet. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, this man calleth for Elijah. And took one of them around and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Look at Jehovah's masterpiece being smitten. And when the masterpiece was smitten,
he
cried a loud voice. The prophet said that the voice of the archangel, the voice of the resurrection, and the voice of the archangel is a mystery between the shout and the trump. And the shout was a Gentile prophet,
full
of Elijah. And the last trump, the seventh trumpet, two Jewish prophets. Amen. To reveal Christ to the Jews. Amen.
And that Gentile prophet, he went off the scene in
1965.
And the two Jewish prophets is yet to come. And from 1965 to 1985, it's a mystery between the Gentile prophet and the Jewish prophet. A mystery between the shout and the trump. The voice of the archangel. And St. Matthew
24.
This, when Jesus preached those seven seals, the opening of the seals, the message of the hour, was the shout.
In
Matthew 28, when the sleeping saints rose, was the last trump, and between the shout and the trump, Jehovah's masterpiece being smitten, and then he went to preach to the lost. Amen. So that's the hour that we're in. So notice here, verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks were rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints that slept were raised. And came out of the grave after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now between verse 51 and verse 52, you have to put 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 18 to 20. You have to put between verse 51 and verse 52. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 to 20, because that says, Jesus, after he was put to death in the flesh, was quickened by the Spirit, and went and preached to the spirits that were in prison. And then on Easter morning, he came up and he led captivity captive. Is that correct? May the Lord add his blessing to his word. You may have a seat. I know some of you have to leave early tonight. So we're going to try to leave aside the formality and get straight into the word. We have a lot we want to say tonight. And we trust him by the grace of God. We'll be able to finish it. So if you notice the scriptures that we read, in 1 Kings, chapter
17,
the time of Elijah, Elijah the prophet, and he came with a prophetic message. It was a time of great famine. It was a time when religion and politics was in a union. Ahab and Jezebel was married. Religion and politics. And the spirit of Elijah was in the land. And Jezebel had corrupted the land with a false teaching. But there were 7,000 who were under that seventh seal, who didn't bow down their knees to Jezebel. And Elijah, God pulled that seal back when he thought he was the only one. The old man had forsaken him. He was a rejected prophet. But he had a message. And he knew God had sent him. And Jezebel hated him. And all her prophets had disfellowshipped him. But Elijah was bold anyhow. He was a fearless man. He preached that message. He condemned sin. He didn't compromise. Because he was sent of God. Whenever a man is anointed, sent of God, he would not compromise. He was called black, black, and white, white. Such was a man of like Elijah. And he came with that message.
There were many Hebrew widows. But Elijah and Noah were sent to a Gentile widow. Because in that Gentile widow was laying the bedding drunk for faith. Elijah had the seed of promise. Amen. And when the seed of promise could find a place to grow, no circumstance will be considered. And that Gentile widow, she was going through a rough time. She was in a hard situation. It seems like all the circumstances conspired against her. Amen. And in that crucial moment, God moved that prophet on the scene. God told that prophet where to go. And that woman didn't know about it. But a prophet was coming in her direction. With
dust
yet the Lord. Hallelujah! And that woman was a Gentile. It was a time of drought. Death was all over the land. People hungered and thirsting. He that
hungered,
let him come. He that hungered, let him come also. Hallelujah. And in that day, as we look at the setting, God was showing a type for this last day when Elijah would come to the Gentiles. Amen. And as we look a little closer, we see religion and politics just like today was in a union. And Elijah came with a prophetic message. And that prophetic message that he spoke to that woman had a dust said the Lord promising it. Amen. But that dust that the Lord promised couldn't come to pass until the woman met God's requirement. Because the prophet placed certain requirements that the woman had to manifest before the promise of the prophet message could come to pass. Hallelujah. And here we are, receiving a prophet message with a dust that the Lord promised. I will write this tale one more time. That dust of the Lord. The dynamics shall be revealed of the Holy Ghost. That dust of the Lord. When the squeeze comes, when the third pull then, that dust of the Lord. Amen. All those are just the Lord promises. In the prophetic message of
Elijah.
In the time when Ahab and Jezebel. Religion and politics. Is in a union. When there's a famine in the land. When there's debt everywhere. Hallelujah. And that woman was living in
Zarephath,
God's workshop. Hallelujah. He was going to refine metal. He was going to put it through his furnace of fiery trial and burn out the iron pyrite. He was going to get the make-believe
house.
Hallelujah. The gold was going to be tried 7 times in the fire. He was going to beat that metal until he sees his reflection inside of it. Until he sees his faith and his own virtue. His knowledge and temperance reflecting out of it. Amen. And that rainbow trout was laying here in Sidon. And the prophet went fishing. Hallelujah! What a hour! Amen. And but before that promise of dust of the Lord, could come to pass, God and the prophet. Because that is what the scripture says. That God spoke that word by Elijah. It was God requiring of the woman. Bake me a cake first.
Hey, what is you take a church of
Kana? She said, but I only have a handful.
What is loving your son as you say?
A handful of meal.
Hey, in to friend your son.
To make one little cake.
Well, I guess they catch any lot.
And me and my boy.
He's not going for the army.
After we eat it.
Hey, so what does he feel?
We are going to die.
He's all doing fun.
Amen. That little bit of meal.
Yes, my son, yes, poo-poo.
Laid between that woman and death. Amen. And the prophet told her, take what you have, but he asked for her water. She could have sacrificed the water.
Well, let me get away from man.
Amen. Because she knows I'm going to die anyway. So best I can give him the water. Even that crucial hour. Even that time of testing. She can still look on the infirmity of others. She can still esteem others better than her own self. She was manifesting a revelation of bodily kind. She was willing to prefer one another. She can put herself in the man's place. Amen. But then all of a sudden, while she's going for the water, that wasn't all God is going to ask. Amen. Before she received the whole message, she was done going away. Amen. Like many of us. Sometimes we don't wait until God finishes speak.
He said,
wait a minute. And bake me a cake also. When he asked for that, she began to make an excuse.
Said,
oh my. We only have enough. To make one cake. You mean to say going to ask for that also? He said, but go and bake that cake first. And afterwards. Hallelujah. The prophet had a revelation. He was sent by God. He was on the scene. He discerned the situation. He understood his inspiration. He knew his leadership. He said, bake a cake for me first. And afterwards, bake for yourself. But all she had was sufficient to bake one cake. Where the rest was going to come from? Amen. Hallelujah. And she said, look, I'm here picking up two sticks.
What in the of a day to
he sends the fear.
Hey, what about your brother?
He sends the torment.
Hey, well, what about
the
worship?
The agony.
Hey,
that the woman is going to.
Hey, I said, love you.
He said, piano.
What is it?
Hallelujah. Don't look at him with the five senses.
What the world kind of image on them now?
Hallelujah. Piano.
What's your brother?
Glory to God. Amen. And look at that prophet. With a capstone revelation.
Hallelujah.
Perfect love. He asked it out all fear.
What you first saw.
Hallelujah. Breaking the spirit of fear. That surrounded the woman. And putting a faith in her heart. He said, that's it, the Lord. Hallelujah. For that's it, the Lord. The clues of oil that you're frightened about. The barrel of meal that you're frightened about shall not go down. Because I have a revelation. God could create. Hallelujah. I see God on the mountain. Bring food every day. By the book chariot. And fed me. When I didn't know where it was coming from. I've been going down with his son. Ravens came. On the mountain top. With food. Hallelujah.
The expression of your faith
Your
obedience to the prophet word will give the prophet the message of the hour. That prophet, the prophet's message is what? You will keep that alive in this time of famine. The voice of the archangel is what will keep this message alive. Hallelujah! A Gentile woman with Gentile faith, whose Gentile faith will bring forth the mystery of the voice of the archangel after receiving a prophet message, Elijah message, in the time of famine, when religion and politics come together. Will produce the mystery of the voice of the archangel to vindicate that when the prophet said, "Thus said the Lord," it was God speaking to him. Hallelujah! So what an hour! That's why it didn't come to pass.
Because then it was the God.
All these years.
Yeah, you're getting young.
Many tried to anoint the promise.
Oh, but was the mother,
and they never brought the meal offering.
Oh, then, but
they don't even know what the meal offering is.
Oh, then, but was the
they tried to live anyhow.
But what about Peter?
But what something?
What?
He preached Elijah and the meal offering. Elijah is Malachi 4:5.
Malachi 4:5.
And the meal offering is Leviticus 2.
Leviticus 2.
Amen. So you have to bring them together. And that woman, she caught a mystery. That is Elijah. He has just said the Lord. He is no crazy person. Don't Jezebel and him say he's a fanatic. That's a prophet of God. Hallelujah. That's Elijah. That's Malachi
4:5.
And she understood his message. She caught the open vision.
What
was the vision of what he was saying? The woman had that vision. That before she could see a household delivered, a household saved, before she see the cruise of oil multiply, and the barrel of meal multiply, it will take mixing the oil and the meal. It will take mixing the word with faith. The meal is all revelation of Christ in this age. People step in it. That bowl that they grind the meal with is a pocket even. All pieces was equal. Surely the same. Yesterday and forever. And she had to mix that meal with the oil. Could you imagine that? The prophet stood up the air in the hot sun, knowing he was sent by God. He was being inspired to give forth that message. He
knew
that message was asking a hard thing upon that woman. He understood what was taking place. And that woman, getting under the inspiration of what the prophet was saying, she began to get fear. But then that message had an assurance that the word the prophet was saying to the Lord, the look in his eyes, the authority he spoke with, it broke the spirit of fear. She had the revelation. She knew God was speaking that to the prophet. She knew what God was requiring of her. She was willing to go and do it cheerfully. She was doing it with expectation to see what the prophet said come to pass. She knew that God would not lie and thunder into her soul. Hallelujah! Her work was expressing a faith.
Work
was faith testimony. Work was the evidence that faith had taken a hold. Hallelujah. She was doing it with confidence. She was singing.
You are dancing in the kitchen.
Hallelujah!
The place is anointed all over. Something was going to happen. She had that strange feeling. She could sense the supernatural. Was moving all over the place. Because she was known the spiritual director. The prophet of the age. She was in the rhythm of the word. The message of the hour. She was in the spirit of the composer. The one who sent the prophet with the message. And she was expecting something to happen. Do you feel that way tonight? Hallelujah!
Amen.
While she was there,
what is Ella Apple?
She made sure that no reasoning, no imagination, no feeling, that spirit of fear that the prophet cast out was not going to come back around to put her back in bondage. And while she was mixing the meal, Satan come around and say, "You're a fool, you shouldn't do that." Shut your mouth, Satan. Hallelujah! I believe the prophet. I believe what the prophet said. I am looking for thus said the Lord. Oh, she was singing. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. His grace is sufficient for me. She was singing. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Hallelujah! Because the word
is
becoming
spirit
and life. Amen. It was a hard test. But she was willing to pay the price. Because she wanted to see how thus the Lord promised come to pass. It was going to help her poor, sick, suffering children. Hallelujah! To a better way of life. Is that what the prophet said?
Because prophet of
the third Paul will have the sick, poor, suffering ones. She tired
to
the little boy crying. He was just a child. He couldn't put away childish things yet. Hallelujah! So he spoke as a child. He understood as a child. But she had come to perfection. She had put away childish things. And she saw another mature one. The prophet. Who could preach that God could still do miracles. Hallelujah. That prophet came and spoke with authority. He's the same today as when he fed them in the wilderness. Hallelujah! He will create meal and oil. So the woman had a vision that it will take mixing the word. The meal with the oil, the Holy Spirit. And then it had to be put to the fiery test. She didn't have an unbalanced revelation. She knew there's a measure of suffering left for her to fulfill. She knew she's going to learn obedience through the things she suffered. She know the prophet didn't promise her better roses. Amen. So she knew that it was after she mixed the oil and the meal. She was enjoying mixing it. She had skillful hands. You know how these sisters is getting the kitchen and begin to knead the flour and they're singing and they're worshiping the Lord because they know the meal is Christ. They know the oil of the Holy Spirit, so they can see God in their own environment. So she was doing that, and she was enjoying it. But then that same thing she enjoyed, she had to put it now on two sticks. She had to put it in the fire. Oh my, the fire was going to bake it into reality. Though it was meal and oil, and it was mixed together, you couldn't feed on it.
It had to be put into the fire. It had to be back into reality. Then it became alive for
them.
Hallelujah! And that's what she was doing. Because she wanted to see the dust of the Lord promised, spoken by the prophet Elijah. She wanted to see it manifested. Now what's something? She was an appointed woman. Because Jesus said there were many widows. But there was a special widow. Behold, I send you Elijah, the prophet. Hallelujah. And she received a message from a prophet with a promise of a dust of the Lord. And she had to endure a great test of faith. Before she could see the prophet promise come to pass, she had many tests before. When the boy was all so sick and almost died, she went to many hard ones too. When her husband had died, the old husband. Hallelujah. And she was going through it was a time of crisis. But great pulsations of faith. Go to work in the time of crisis. When the press was on. Hallelujah! When the squeeze was coming on. Oh, prayer was sincere then. Amen. But she was ordained to go through that time. The meal was alive. That meal lay between the woman and death. Because of time of famine, people were holding on to the substance. They wouldn't give away anything because that was a lie. They might have given away a wheelbarrow. They might have given away a chair in the home. But the food,
what you do that?
That was the life.
What is it?
To give up the food,
what you feel good
that? To give up the life.
What is it? Amen.
Amen.
The woman, what they come through the house in a blown fast.
That is exactly what God required of the woman.
You come through the house in a blown fast.
Before that prophesy, I promised to come to pass.
And she first the letter, that's what it says.
And she was willing to sacrifice.
Where from when I need an uncle going?
She was obedient.
Where that is.
You know why?
That's none.
She had faith in the words spoken by the prophet.
Well, your father, please, look your prophet.
She wasn't just that say, I talked to a prophet.
Well, my Jesus, I'm a prophet.
Well, a prophet come in my home.
Prophet is an engineer.
Oh, I heard his voice.
Yes, but he's not a kid.
No, she was willing to act upon what he said.
Where from when I have the drum to show her?
Even though it was going to bring her in a more crucial condition.
What of the rest is where she is, Jimakun.
But she had faith in what he said.
What the? Where the color of the cockle man?
Because she saw God's vindication.
No, but what was the? Who saw the cockle food?
In that prophet.
No, prophet.
Now, I want to notice something else.
Which is what I need.
God had told Elijah.
Where did Elijah?
After he left Ahab.
Ahab.
When he told Ahab, no dew or rain will fall except I
cause it.
God told Elijah by the book cherry. And I will feed you there. Amen. Because God is waiting for the woman to use the oil to go down. He was waiting for a barrel of meal to get low. He was waiting for her water to get scarce. And God waited until she came to the lamb.
What the way is the bubble free now?
Just enough to make one little cake.
I'm going to tell my wife to take it low.
Maybe all the time.
You can't discuss all day.
While the barrel is going down, she might be trying to anoint the third
pole.
Lord, I know you're multiplying the bread and fish. The woman today. Amen. Lord, you create squirrels.
Well, not supposed to. What's the love thing?
Lord, you promised the third pole.
What's your love to the bastard?
But the Lord wanted to see just how much he believed that.
What's your love? That's what's going on.
So he let everything come down to nothing.
What will you want to do?
Like the time when God gave the prophet the test.
And he make him come under the grass 4 inches
high.
To see if he will still believe a 9-foot grizzly bear could come out of 4-inch high grass.
God
loves to do that. Test it to the final point. To the breaking point. To see what you're made of. Because Satan has already said, you're just like Eve. You're just like the first church. You're going to bow to him. And God has told Satan, they will not bow. Hallelujah! So the contest is on. The evening lights are shining. Hallelujah! It's a test of strength. Hallelujah! There is a monk temptation before there is a monk transfiguration. Hallelujah! Many want to go to monk transfiguration, but only those who overcome on monk temptation could go to monk transfiguration. Hallelujah! So notice, God waited until the woman went right down. But look at the confidence that God had in that woman. Because he knew it had a gene of eternal life laying in that woman. He knew that the little portion of him that was in the woman, amen, was able to do everything that God did. So when that time came, God told Elijah, I already commanded the woman to sustain thee. Amen! And God knew she only had enough to make one little thing. Amen! God ordained that hour. And God ordained that kind of woman with that kind of faith for that kind of hour. Hallelujah! And God sent that kind of message. Hallelujah! And that is why he put that kind of promise also in the message. So it's a great time. Amen! So that woman was here. First, when she heard the message, in the humanistic realm, before she got into the realm of revelation, she thought, I can't live that out.
Hey, what you are saying?
But God already said, she will live it out. Because greater is he in her heart than he that is in her flesh. Hallelujah! That is why God could say, when the squeeze comes, what's the third pull then? What's the greater work? God is doing the squeeze comes. You're going to run and hide, and you're going to beg pardon. He said, wait and see that little group. Who the seven thunders? And then voices. You will shut the heavens. You will create billions of flies. God expressing his confidence in his bride that is predestined. No wonder he said, when you come to know who you are, what you stand for, and that you can do the greater work. Satan, all them big spirit of fear and doubt will be powerless before you. Because Elijah prayed you with the repentance of predestination. Oh, hallelujah! I just feel good tonight.
Because I know I am that woman. I know that was my shadow. The light struck Brother Branham. And he cast the shadow of Elijah. The light struck the Catholic Church. They cast the shadow of Jezebel. But the light struck me. And I cast the shadow of the woman. Hallelujah. And it's all coming to pass in this hour. And if Brother Branham was not Elijah, and the Roman Catholic Church is not Jezebel, then I am that woman. Yes, you are that woman. Hallelujah. Then you have that kind of faith. Then you can do these things. Because that, when that revelation begin to be revealed in the one heart, and she begins to get under the inspiration of that revelation, she was knowing who she was. Hallelujah! She didn't say that was a hard thing afterwards. It was joy to serve it to him. It was joy to bring the meal offering. She wasn't giving the meal offering and watching cross eye in the barrel. And looking cross eyed in the barrel. No, sir. She had faith.
Well, of course.
That if I do my part, God will keep his part. Hallelujah. What a challenge to her faith.
He said that's one who cut it off.
But she had that representation.
What the? Well, it's in there.
She was delivered up. Unto death.
Where did he get saved?
By the determinate counsel of God.
What could I have said? Now, look, because I couldn't let me.
We are always delivered up unto death.
Just to share it to put our effort.
For Jesus' sake. For the message of Yahweh's sake. Amen. That the life of Jesus, the token, will be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Amen. And here God has arranged it. It was prearranged. And God told Elijah, that woman will keep you alive. Amen. And he sent him just at the time when she only had a little bit to make one cake. Now notice another thing here. It's not Elijah the bird offering. It's not Elijah and the peace offering. It's not Elijah and the sin offering. Or the trespass offering. It's Elijah and the meal offering. Amen. Now all these offerings in the Old Testament, it's part of Christ.
Yes, come on, please.
We know he's the principal theme of the entire Bible.
Just one of you know,
and Leviticus chapters 1-5. It deals with the different offerings. And all these offerings was typified of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we want to look at the meal offering a little bit. So we're going to understand correctly what the principal theme of the prophet message, when Ahab and Jezebel was united together in the time of famine, what the message really was. And the vision the woman caught, because she did produce that
love.
And God did fulfill the destiny of the Lord
comes.
And here we are, that woman today, receiving that message.
Then get a damn message.
And that message to the woman.
Damn message to the woman.
But bake me a cake first. And it took the spiritual mind of a prophet to pull out the book of Kings, the meal offering, and reveal it was Christ. He said, notice, she didn't pick up three sticks or four sticks.
It
was two sticks. And those two sticks, Was the public crucifixion the word? Was Calvary? Very masterpiece. Was smitten. Very mystery.
Christ.
The voice of the archangel. Just before the preaching to the Lord. And the resurrection. The dust of the Lord promised. Of the prophet message. Came to pass. The third poor ministry. The meal had to be on the two sticks. And that is being fulfilled today. And the bride Elijah come to. Is that correct? Alright, so then let's see and understand carefully what the meal offering is. And then we'll be able to compare it with our lives. And see if our lives, what we are living on, who say we believe Elijah, who claim ourselves as the bride, who say we're living in that hour, see if we are bringing forth what God spoke to that prophet to us. If we are bringing it forth, then we can have supreme confidence that the dust of the Lord promised will come to pass. And if we are missing it somewhere because of lack of understanding, then we'll understand clearly what it is Elijah really required of us before the promise will come to pass. So we'll be able to manifest it. Amen. Now let's turn to Leviticus. Chapter 2. And hold that for a little while. Just let me say something here. So you'll have a clear understanding of the offering. Now all these offerings was typified in Jesus Christ. And the offering is divided into two parts. The sweet savor offerings and the non-sweet savor offerings. The sweet savor offerings speak of the surrendered life of Jesus Christ to the Lord. To the world. His sacrificial life to man. And then in the other offering, is speaking of the penalty for our sins being paid. Now in the sweet savor offering, sin is not seen or taught us. It is the faithful Israelite giving a sweet offering to Jehovah. The offer came for acceptance as a worshiper. He appears as a man in perfection. And his offering stands the trial of fire. And fire is God's searching holiness. And when it's accepted, it ascends unto God as a sweet savor. Amen. And each offering held part of the mystery. There was a burnt offering. There was a meal offering. There was a peace offering. Then there was the sin offering and the trespass offering. And in each of these offerings, part of the mystery of the one great offering was being revealed. Because in the book of Hebrews, Paul speaking of Christ, we saw one offering was given and accepted once and for all. There was no more offering to be given afterwards. Because he was the perfect offering. But God was slowly unfolding his mystery, giving it out slowly in types and shadows. And in each offering, there are three distinct objects
Present him. Now follow me very close. There is the offering, the priest, and the offerer. Christ is the offering. Christ is the priest. And Christ is the offerer. Amen. Now the offering of Christ, which all these shadows of the type of, was one. And was offered once. And this offering are divided into two classes. The sweet savor offering, which was for acceptance. And then the sin and trespass offering, which was required for the deliverance of us from our sins. In the sweet savor offering, we don't look at Christ as a sin bearer. Now many times when we think about Jesus, we only talk about his death. And we speak very little of his life. We look very little into his ways that please the Father. Because the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Father was pleased by his life, his behavior, his attitude, his conduct. Amen. It was his way throughout his life and ministry, even to the very way he laid on his life, that pleased the Father. In all these things, his life was a sweet savor unto Jehovah. Look in the Bible, in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 49, a 12-year-old boy in the temple. The eye must be about my Father's business. As a young boy, the world in infancy could correct the error. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Matthew chapter 3, verse 15, at the beginning of his ministry, he said, it be coming us to fulfill all righteousness. In John chapter 4, verse 34, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. In John 5:17, he said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. In St. John 5, verse 36, he said, the works which your Father had given me to finish, the same works I do, bear witness of me. In St. John chapter 19,
chapter 19,
verse 30, when he's down the cross, when the meal and the oil
does
mix together, when
they
all put on two sticks in the fire, he said, it is finished.
What you could pay is
amen. As he died on the cross, from his entire life, from his childhood, to his death on the cross, was wrapped up in doing the will of the Father. And during that time, he was tempted in all points.
When
he
was
as a teenager going to school, being influenced on a video game. All of carnal conversation. All of carnal books. Amen. He was tempted. But he stood his ground. As a young man, getting a job, working for a little money. Amen. He would care about himself. With respect. He wouldn't run in parties and the cinemas. He stood his ground. He knew he
is born for greater purpose. He's just himself consecrated. For his real purpose. As a man of full age. He was telling a woman. Popularity. Money. And his ministry. And his spirit ground. You are tempted at all points. And yet without sin. Even agony. It is good as trial. When his own disciples forsook him. When he was betrayed. When he was rejected. When he despised us then. In a time of trial and suffering. It is prayer. He was praying, not my will, but thy will be done. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. When his priest is coming, when he had gone preaching the law, he said, for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Unto this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world.
Yes, sir. Yes, come again.
He kept himself unknown by the world.
What's that?
Through the things he suffered. He learned obedience. And in the Old Testament, he surrendered life to God and his sacrificial life to man. It was symbolized in the Old Testament in the meal offering. For the meal offering, speak of self-sacrifice. You're giving your offering unto God. But in giving the offering unto God, it had to be burned on the altar. The brazen altar. It had to stand the test of fire. And then the remnant,
inside,
the priest used to eat it. So in giving the offering to God, man also was fed. Amen. When it's being standing at the test of fire. And the meal offering was man's offering to God. And when it was subject to the fire, because of what it was made with, it went before God as a sweet smelling savor. The perfect accomplishment of man's duty to his neighbor. And the perfect fulfillment of God's requirements is symbolized in the meal offering. Man in his offering surrendered himself to God. But doing so, that he may give to man his portion. That was the meal offering. And that was Elijah. In the time of famine, when Ahab and Jezebel was united together, religion and politics, when he came to a Gentile woman with Gentile faith, that was his message. Before the dust of the Lord promised, the preaching to the lost, and the raising of even saints, the third power, before it could come to pass, she had to bring that meal offering. So in the meal offering, we do not view Christ as a sin bearer, but as a man in perfection, meeting God in holiness. The thought in the meal offering is not like in 2 Corinthians 5.
2 Corinthians 5.
They say God made him to be sin for us. That's not the meal offering. That's the sin offering. But the meal offering is Ephesians 5 verse 2. It says he loved us. And gave himself as an offering. As a sacrifice to God. For a sweet smelling savor. A real revelation. A bodily kindness. Greater love hath no man than this.
The man living his life is friends. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Because that revelation brings on the dust of the Lord's promise of the gemstone, the dynamic. Hallelujah! The Holy Ghost! The cap of the pyramid of your life. In that time of birth pains, when you're going through your hardest trial, when God deliver you up to be smitten before a third pole ministry, the voice of the archangel can come to pass. That mystery between the shout and the trump. Hallelujah. Now there were three things that made the meal offering. Let's read here in Leviticus 2.
Reading from verse 1.
And when any will offer a meal offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be made of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priest, and he shall take thereof his handful of the flour thereof, and the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar, to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the remnant of the meal offering shall be Aaron's and his sons, and it is the thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. And if thou bring an oblation of a meal offering baked in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mixed with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. And if thy oblation be a meal offering baked in a pan, it can be baked both ways, in an oven or in a pan, it shall be a fine flour unleavened mixed with oil. Thou shalt part it in pieces and pour oil thereon. It is a meal offering. Because part of the mission of Christ is part of his bride. On Calvary, he tears two parts. On the two sticks. And if thy oblation be a meal offering baked in a frying pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. And thou shalt bring the meal offering that is made of these things unto the Lord, and when it is presented unto the priest, he shall bring it unto the altar. And the priest shall take from the meal offering a memorial thereof, and shall burn it upon the altar. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And that which is left of the meal offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. No meal offering which you shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven, nor any honey in any offering of the Lord made by fire. And verse 13. And every oblation of thy meal offering shall thou season with salt, neither shall thou allow the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meal offering. With all thy offerings thou shalt offer salt. So
So notice, in the meal offering, there must be made with flour. And that flour is fine flour. In fine flour, it is sifted. And you sift it to get all the uneasiness out. All the little lumps of pride and malice and hatred have been sifted to be the fine flour. Remember Sarah? When Elohim came to Abraham, before Sodom was burned, she took three measures of fine flour.
What did you want to say? Flour is
just a little bit. And she brought it to Jehovah.
What did you tell Jehovah?
Amen. The sweet savor offerings. It speaks of Christ in his own perfection, his affectionate devotion to the will of the Father. And fine flour speaks of evil and balance of character. Fire speaks of his suffering. And frankincense speaks of the fragrance of his life. Then you mustn't put no honey. Because honey is too sweet. That when you put it to the fire, the honey is ferment or turn sour. But you have to put frankincense. Because when frankincense is subjected to fire, then the sweet fragrance really comes out. And it only comes out when it's subjected to the fire. And there's some believers, oh, they're so sweet and nice. The best Christians have, except when they're going through trials. Except when they're subjected to the fire. They turn all sour. And they're all irritable. And you can't talk to them. And they're vexed. Amen. But then those with frankincense, when the fiery trial comes, the pleasant as ever, comes with all joy. When you fall into diverse temptations, knowing the testing of your faith, work of patience. Amen. Then the meal offering, pour oil upon it. And then also they could bake it in a pan. The sisters know that. There's many things they could cook in a frying pan. In the frying pan, all eyes could behold the meal offering while it was being subjected to the fire. Amen. It speaks of the outward suffering that man could see. But when it is in the oven, it's the inner suffering. That sometimes man sees a smile on your face. Like a prophet. But he never knew how broke he was inside. How grieved he was. Amen. When he did reject him, he knew those people who conspired against him. Yet he showed them kindness. Yet he called them brother. People never knew. But his heart, he was being hurt. Amen. The inner suffering. Like Isaiah 53. The most bloody and bruised scripture in the Bible. That a prophet took to preach the masterpiece. Showing the time and the masterpiece to be smitten. The mystery of the voice of the archangel. A man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. Amen. See, who went in agony and suffering. Let's look at the meal offering. It was made with flour first of all. And to get flour,
They had to crush the corn.
They
couldn't crush a tassel.
They
can't crush a stalk.
They
have to crush the grain.
The
grain is the image of their life.
Then
you pick your grain
and they
have to crush it.
Isaiah chapter 28, verse 28,
it says bread corn must be bruised. In the olden days, the woman would take the stone and they begin to grind the corn.
Sometimes
a grater. I don't know what you call it over here. What they grate the corn on.
They're
making the flour.
Now
the corn is going through a hard time. It has been crushed. It has been broken. It has been ground to become powder. By the very one it is supposed to feed. Do you see now? Why all these years? People holler and didn't get nothing.
Has
to be revealed in the seven thunders. The message of the prophet. What we have to bring. Before the dust of the Lord promise to come to pass. It must be something. Mix with oil and meal. Put out two sticks. Be a sweet smell and savor. In the nostrils of God. We have to sacrifice everything. Then it can come to pass. The promise. That's why it can come. Because many, from the time they've been broken, they retaliate. From the time somebody come against them, they put up resistance. But look at how we saw him last night. He was dumb before his
shares.
He opened
up
his mouth. Amen. Oh, you want to go a little quick now? So bread
is
the staff of life. And Christ is our staff of life. And he is here represented in the meal offering. And the corn has to be grown in the powder. The masterpiece has to be smitten. After the bride is formed in the world image. And becomes Jehovah's masterpiece. They can be smitten. Because the prophet
said,
for the word to speak, it has to come to the image. And for the image to speak, it has to be smitten. So only when the life comes back in the form image of the grain, is then you can make bread with it. So they couldn't make bread in Luther time. They couldn't make it in Wesley time. But in the wheat age, in the grain age, in the time when they could bring a meal offering, when the corn could be crushed and drunk in the powder, it's speaking of pressing, wearing trial. In meeting the wants of man. His blessed soul was grieved and pressed and bruised continually. And the bruising here was from those to whom he was ministering to. Because the ones who grew up to make bread with the corn, the ones who have to eat it and live,
the
very ones who just crush it. Oh, we could be a lot of things. If the world do it up, but when it comes amongst our own, it's hard. But that shows the real life of Christ. It shows you saved today. As he was yesterday. Let's look at him. At the beginning of his ministry. Knowing each sorrow. Each temptation. Each experience. That he was going to go through. He foresaw the whole course.
even his rejection and the shameful end he was going to come to. Rejected when we tried to minister blessing. Misunderstood when he tried to give instruction. Suffering not only at the hands of his enemies but more acutely from those around him. But though he was rejected, misunderstood, suffered, he goes forward. Without the slightest stumbling, he never stopped for a moment in his devoted service. But all those who were around him. Do you have the flower? We talking about the whole meal offering and anyway, the flower. To the very end of his course. Just as at the beginning. He was the meat of all. So those who need him and will accept him. We many times, when trouble or sorrow comes, we think that it's time to stop. Caring for other people instead of care for ourselves. But not Jesus. His course of self-surrender was complete. Amen. In some of the Psalms, we can catch a glimpse of his sorrows. Though in the Gospels, you can't find no murmur coming through his lips. Did you ever read in the Gospel that Jesus murmured? But in the Psalms, as you read them, in Psalm 69,
verse 20,
he says, "Reproach has broke my heart."
What is that?
Bringing forth the word.
And that is
showing them the promise.
Ever Jesus said,
coming to deliver them from that Roman power. To get them ready for the spiritual kingdom, revealing redemption. And yet, who do you think he is?
Beelzebub.
He wants to be a ruler over us. Caesar is our king. You see what he had to go through? Yet, you never find him complaining. In Psalms 35,
verse 11 to 16,
he speaks of false accusations made against him. In Psalm 55,
verse 12 to 14,
he shows that it was not his enemies alone that caused him to suffer, but rather his greater suffering was from his acquaintances with whom he had counseled together, who accompanied him to the house of God. These are just some of the bruises of Christ's spirit. Part of the mystery of the meal offering that Elijah tell the woman to bring. If you bring that meal offering, you'll be able to identify yourself with those things. That mystery between the shout and the trumpet. Isn't that the time when Jesus really went through to his fullness? See? But as respects his body, not just his spirit, his body also. How much he was bruised. What pains he went through. Weaknesses. He had to suffer to feed on us.
Wow, what should they?
Look at the prophet of this age.
Can you not prophet let us
go? 8 days and nights on the platform. They're drinking coffee. Praying for the sick. Look at him.
Can you back on you?
Outside the air. Giving his all. Yet being rejected.
What are you got?
Look at him.
Back on you.
He said one vision made Jesus weak. Daniel had trouble him for weeks. He said, look at me.
What in can you
do? We've had about 10 visions already. He said, what about me? How should I be feeling here?
What you want to know?
God was a meal offering.
What would he get away?
He had compassion. He saw the sick people. He saw the needy ones. He didn't think of himself. He called his all.
What?
Love his family.
What?
To come out here. Ruining his health. Destroying his own health.
What it was?
What we
beloved.
He was so much worn by labor.
Where they look at it,
he couldn't even bear his own cross.
Well, but when I actually from Bolton,
another was compelled to bear it for him.
Oh, yeah, what you wanna actually?
That was not kindness.
Well, my sister is.
That was necessity.
What we need to eat, you know,
Jesus was already ground and broken. He was now ready to be put on two sticks.
When I forget to tell him
on the cross. To bring the last part of his ministry. Into operation. Are you that way? Are we ending the last part of the ministry? Have we come to the time? When what we have mixed. We have to put in the fire now.
So they took the embassy
on two sticks. Before we can bring that ministry into operation. Because that ministry comes into operation on them two sticks. Is there the life law for being made? To keep the word of the hour alive. Is there being baked into reality? Is there a bruised serpent head? Is there broke the powers of Satan? Is there nearly handwriting the ordinances on the wall? Is there the voice of the archangel went forth? Is it there the prophet puts it back again? When the priest comes? What is God put in? When the bride is all pressed out? When the rose are shower is crushed? Then the perfume comes? Is that what's going to happen? Then why do we try to run from it?
Why is the master manager?
Why do you try to resist it?
The minister, where to go to?
Hear not!
Yes, sir.
Obey what the prophet says.
Now let us go up to the prophet.
Have expectations.
Open the book and get there, dog.
Forget yourself.
Before say
what God move on the scene.
But I put the scene.
Bring it apart. In your home. In your church. In your life, you will see the dust of the Lord promise that you read this message and depart.
Just
get the meal offering ready. Figure out
when food.
The meal offering wasn't just flour. It was fine flour.
What we flour? It's for the
Christ to satisfy on us.
Who keeps you on the end of the start?
Was broken.
We're food.
There couldn't be no uneasiness.
What we need to be the
in your flower. How many people for the last 20 years? Trying to bring them a hurry meal offering. Because the thing is not important to sift the flower. God is in hurry. So you don't try to hurry up God. You wait on your knees until they sift out all your flour. Look at Peter.
What is Peter?
Oh, he was following Jesus.
Well, Jesus.
Talking about you give his life for him. Then turn around and deny.
What can you on Peter?
Look at unevenness in that flour.
When a man looks at the man,
Satan was going to sift him like wheat.
What a man of justice is.
Amen. Look at John.
Can I show him?
Oh, he's the apostle of love.
Well, he's not all time.
Always leaning on Jesus' bosom.
Where they are messed with God, Jesus.
Always crying and talking about love.
It said, it cannot, it could have more time.
And now somebody rejects him.
On your own page.
Let me call them fire and burn them up.
Watch it. Please don't look at this.
See what's happening?
Never was the canal.
Full of lump.
It's really, I'm not coming.
That can't make no meal offering for God. That's why I need to be sifted. Amen. But in Jesus,
what I would say is,
every grace was in perfection. Faith to believe again. Virtue to give out what you have with meekness. Knowledge to understand what kind of spirits in
them.
To know his season, his promise. Temperance to bear with them. Not easily provoked. Patience to wait. God on season, God on time.
Yes,
so you can manufacture nothing.
You can manufacture anything. Then godliness. Learn of me, I'm meek and lowly in heart. Brotherly kindness. To put himself in the place. And love cover multitude of sins.
Find flower!
The next material in the meal offering was oil. How many people tried to live this word, mix this word with the human spirit, produce a false interpretation, and go into sin, and destroy many others also. Choke them with a meal offering. Rocket! See? Nobody could eat that. It had to be mixed with oil. Because oil, in its nature, is nourishing and healing. Oil is symbolic of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus is an obedient man.
Was filled
with the Holy Ghost. And his oblation of himself as the meal offering was an unction and power of the Holy Ghost. He didn't do nothing to energy to the flesh. When he acted, with the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. When he beat them in the temple, something look at him, he talk about love and he don't have no love. Look how he beat the poor old man. He caught the scripture. The zeal of my father's house. Hallelujah! It wasn't of the flesh. He was fulfilling prophecy. He was under inspiration of the word. In Luke Gospel, when Jesus at his public ministry, when his public ministry started, or in other words, when he began to bring his meal offering, the Holy Ghost descended upon him. The oil was poured on the fine floor. Amen. In Luke chapter 3. Then in Luke chapter 4. He took the scriptures. When he returned from Galilee. The meal anointed with oil. Full of the Holy Ghost. He returned in the power of the Spirit. He goes into the synagogue. He takes the book. And he finds a place where he describes his anointing. Amen. And when he heals the sick. Whether he teaches the poor or feeds the hungry, it's all done by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Our human efforts will avail to nothing. Human works in our human spirit, that dead works. It must be a work that is the expression of faith. Amen. Because Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it said God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. And everywhere he went, he was doing good. Hallelujah! Anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. And wherever he went, he was doing good. The meal anointed with oil.
Amen.
That is the meal offering. The oil in the meal offering. The oil is not in the burnt offering. The oil is in the meal offering. Because it is in our relation to man. In your service to your neighbor. That the Holy Spirit is rarely needed in grace and power. To go the extra mile. So when they smite you in the cheek, you can turn the other cheek. When they ask you for your cloak, you can give them your coat also. To put yourself in other places. To esteem each other better than your own self. To bear one another burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. To forgive some of the time, seven. A day already in the oil.
on your fine floor. So the oil is in the meal offering. Oh, that woman had to bring a meal offering. You think we can live that? Don't fear, we can do it. Hallelujah! God told Elijah, you will bring the meal offering. God told Elijah, bring that meal offering. That revelation of the voice of the archangel that will make the world live in this hour. Every just that the Lord promised will come to pass. Another ingredient in the meal offering was frankincense. Do you have the oil? Do you have the meal? Well, you have to have frankincense too. Frankincense is the most precious of perfumes. Of enduring delightful fragrance. You know, you have some perfumes. Some fragrances. It lasts just a little while. Then it gives off no more aroma, no more fragrance. But the frankincense, it has an enduring fragrance. You spray some here.
Yeah, stand up.
You walk back here a little while afterwards. It's not
ever local.
It's fresh as ever.
Local who takes your own
jar. It's a fitting symbol. Of the sweetness and the fragrance of the offering of Jesus Christ. Because in frankincense, the full fragrance is not brought out until the perfume is submitted to the action of fire. The real things that made Jesus please the Father. That he said, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm pleased to God and hear him. And the prophet said, hear him. Then it means that you have to speak. And before he could speak, he had to come into the image. And Jesus said he was the corner wheat.
Just what you know. We tell him alone.
He was in the image.
Well, we find that
so if you're looking for adoption.
No, well, we never went on.
Then you have to come to that place.
We made it with the name down.
We're in the time of trial.
You just catch this over the
your fiery trial.
Hey, is it he was in the
you can even be dumb before Asia.
What's your way?
Don't you know it's false witnesses? Don't you know you can take your knowledge of the word and tie them up in knots? But because you have to live what you preach. Because you understand the season. Because you know it is by the Father's determinate counsel you are being delivered up. Because you know there's a final testing before the promise. Where you prove yourself worthy. In your fiery trial. Your frankincense. Begin to produce that fragrance. Like when those people were mocking the prophet in the service.
But
the
second prophet
laughing at him.
Them
disturbing the service. Under that trial. That trap Satan set for him. His flour was sifted out. Was anointed with oil. And he had a fragrance. He said, I forgive you. Amen. Hallelujah. The fire of God holiness. Tried him many times. It's gonna try us. The holiness of God coming to bring out the graces which would have escaped our notice if Jesus never suffered. If Jesus didn't go through the things he went through, we may not have believed a man could behave that way. Tripped naked. Nailed to a cross. Picked upon. Beaten. Mocked and ridiculed. Challenged. and yet in humility.
Kepa, we would so big.
It could be so totally surrendered.
Eh, what?
Knowing the scripture says
that
is going to happen.
Yeah.
And he was so anointed with the spirit of obedience. That Satan couldn't get me emotional. And try to bring pride. He had no image to keep before the people. The Bible says despise the sin.
If I speak to you, what did I tell you?
He preferred to obey the word.
One is that easy
than to glorify himself.
Amen.
Frankincense.
It
pleased the Father.
So it's our Baba.
A sweet fragrance. You must have that. In your meal offering. The sweetness can be honey. These guys, sweet Christians.
I'm a Christian. Oh,
they like to talk about the Lord and the love of God.
That was time to let go.
But let a little trial come.
What do I feel my easy?
You see how the honey turns sour? It ferments. You could put no level in the meal neither.
One day you are fucking good.
Tell us all the little funny ideas.
Say the meat come out of the good
level.
But
the unbelief,
what could
it can't be in the meal offering?
I'm never going to make it
in the total separation.
What does it say?
Oh, unbelief. Then every meal offering must have salt. No meal offering must bring out salt. Part of the conversation. Be seasoned with salt. Jesus said the salt have lost its savor.
It's
only looking like salt. But it's not salt. It's good for nothing.
And it's
been trodden under the foot of men. But salt is a preservative. Against corruption. Salt speaks of incorruption. So notice what that meal offering was. It was a revelation of Jesus Christ.
God Jesus Christ
and Elijah required that of the woman. Many of us have been mixing the oil and the meal. But we tried to bypass the two sticks. We don't want to go through suffering. We don't want to go through rejection. We don't want to go through humiliation. But let me tell you tonight. Despise it. When that shame wants to rise up. And make you feel the world laughing at you. And you appear to be defeated. Go through it. When you hate it for my name's sake, despise the shame and look at the joy that is set before you. The masterpiece has to be smitten. But when it's been smitten, when it's on the cross, when it's on the two sticks,
it's
there, it's been baked into reality to become a life loaf, to keep the word alive in this time of famine, to bring the past to God. The Lord promised of Elijah's message to you in the time of famine. Don't you fear. Amen. Amen. So tonight, before the promise come to pass, what was Elijah's message to the woman? Bring a meal offering. The promise that we know the meal offering is Christ. Even that time, when God dipped in the pot, a handful of meal. Might have death in a church. All it needs is somebody, the prophetic anointing of Elisha. Take some fine flour. Throw it in the pot.
I forget the day.
And heal the pot. Amen. That is the very hour. That we have come
down
to. Bring your meal offering. Be diligent. Don't try to bring no hurry thing. Make sure your flour is sifted. And when you're being baked in your oven, your inner sufferings, no woman may complain. Jesus said, you fast,
Look, come out, all worried looking.
The Kataba Kaling, what is that?
So people can say, oh, that brother
fast.
Not your face, guy.
Come out.
Come out like nothing is happening.
Amen.
Glory. When you've been spit on, humiliated, and others see and laugh at you, and say God is with you, why God don't vindicate you? Don't get in the flesh. Because that is part, it could have been also baked in a pan too. Let at that time, let your frankincense come before God and a sweet
smelling
sin. Do you see now why many look for the promise and it could happen? Because
you
never brought the meal offering. God in Elijah. Told the woman,
what can I do for?
Bring the meal offering first. What did I do for yourself? To save your own life. Deny yourself. And do it for somebody else.
First!
If you want to see the promise of the
life.
That is the mystery of that voice of the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. When the life is forming you, then you become the voice of the resurrection. Because you come, the image of the life must be in the image first. Then it can be smitten. Let's stand to our feet. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Blessed be these wonderful names. Heavenly Father, Lord, as your word has gone forth tonight, I pray, dear God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that this will be so plain, it will be so real, it will be so personalized in the hearts of your people tonight, Father. And there is not one that is going to miss it. But Lord, like when Elijah was speaking and that woman was coming under the inspiration of that message, he actually had a vision, oh God, the spirit of fear being broken, and she's caught up in a realm of faith. Lord, to go forth and manifest the word. She heard a voice, she recognized the truth, and she went to act upon it. She went for the works and faith, Father, and then the promise came to pass. So let it be tonight. I pray this assembly, Lord, in this congregation, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, I know you will not fail them when they bring that new offering, for you are true to every promise. Let it be, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, as I come to this congregation to you now, for your honor and for your glory. Amen. Sorry to keep you late, but you're just a few minutes late. May God bless you. The time is not over. God bless you.